23 years after Sue Rodriguez first appealed to the Supreme Court for the right to die, Canada now has legislation enshrining that right. Yesterday, the Liberal government tabled that legislation in the House of Commons. It is more conservative, however, than what was suggested by the parliamentary committee that studied the issue. While it does provide the right to die for patients over 18 with a terminal illness, it leaves out other categories. Mature minors, people with mental illness, and people making advanced requests will not be included, at least not yet. In 1993, Chris Considine represented Sue Rodriguez before the Supreme Court. He joins us on the line this morning from Victoria. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning to you.
First, your overall impression of this legislation.
Obviously, Chris, I'm pleased that the legislation has finally occurred, although it's been a long time and a lot of people have suffered, unfortunately, in the interim. But this legislation reflects the original goal of Sue Rodriguez, that mentally competent adults with a terminal illness should be able to have the assistance of a physician to end their lives so that they're not enduring prolonged indignity, suffering, and pain.
Now, much is being made about the exclusion of these three categories I mentioned in the introduction. In general, what do you think of the scope of this legislation?
I think the scope of the legislation is a good first step. There are, however, I think some issues that are going to need to be continued to be addressed by the Government of Canada and also potentially by the Supreme Court of Canada. Those relate to the following. One, for young persons who are under the age of the consenting age in Canada, in the sense of under the age of 18 or 19, depending on the province, they should be able to, in my view, have the opportunity for physician-assisted death in appropriate circumstances. There are many competent young people who are 17 or 18 or 16, who I'm sure you and I and your listeners have met, who may have been suffering, who know their minds and are quite capable of making an appropriately informed decision. So I think an allowance needs to be made for them, and that's something that the government, I would urge, should continue to explore. Secondly, there is a huge difficulty for those who have Alzheimer's giving early consent, because people's perspectives on what is enduring for them as pain or not changes sometimes. So that's the difficulty that any ethicist, lawyer, or parliamentarian will have in terms of grappling with early consent for Alzheimer's type diseases or other types of diseases. How do you judge also when that consent would be enacted? So for instance, how would you judge at what stage of Alzheimer's a person would want physician-assisted death? So those are very complex questions, and I think that a lot more study and thought needs to be given to the answers to those questions. The next area is the area of mental health. Obviously, there are people who have severe mental health issues, which are chronic, meet the type of criteria potentially that the Supreme Court of Canada may be talking about in its Carter decision. But we need to approach mental health issues very carefully, because so much of mental health problems which continue and are enduring often are due to patients not having access to proper mental health care. As you know, in this country, we do not in many areas have proper mental health care availability. It may be available in major urban settings, but not in country and rural settings. So before a government would want to go to that type of legislation, it would certainly need to make sure that adequate mental health funding is available for persons before they would move to choosing whether or not to have a physician-assisted death.
We spoke yesterday morning with Josh Patterson of the BC Civil Liberties Association, along with Gloria Taylor. They, of course, brought the latest case before the Supreme Court. And I asked him about the exclusion of the three groups you mentioned earlier. Here's our exchange. Now, why isn't it prudent to have very conservative legislation to start with and then have it expanded, if necessary, by court challenges later?
Well, it may be prudent, but it's unnecessary prudence. And so to say that we're going to leave them out, to say that we're going to look at it in a few years, just means that they'll be trapped in suffering for longer.
What do you make of that argument from Mr. Patterson?
I take probably a slightly more conservative approach than Josh Patterson, because I think that some of these issues do need more care, more research, and thought. I think it would be prudent for the government to indicate this is ongoing, our studies. We are not going to slow down our review of it. We're going to consult with the leading ethicists in the country, with Canadians overall, and then come up with some further alternatives or proposals to address the other specific concerns that remain outstanding.
When you argued the Rodriguez case before the Supreme Court, the judge ruled against Ms. Rodriguez, of course, and Justice Sopinka wrote in the majority, and I'll just quote, he said, to create an exception to the prohibition against assisted suicide for certain groups of persons would create an inequality and lend support to the notion that we are starting down the slippery slope toward full recognition of euthanasia. I'm curious, Chris, how you think jurisprudence and public opinion has changed since that opinion.
Jurisprudence has obviously changed because the minority in that decision have become the unanimous decision in the Carter. You may recall that Chief Justice McLaughlin, the Supreme Court of Canada, wrote one of the minority decisions on Rodriguez, and she said, in fact, there is no slippery slope. That argument does not hold weight. We have criminal laws in place to prevent people from committing murder on elderly patients or patients who are in pain. Secondly, is that was well addressed in Carter. Also, it's important to remember the population of Canada have been ahead of the Supreme Court of Canada and Rodriguez and also the politicians by over two decades. The polling across Canada from the time Rodriguez case first came to the public attention to date has shown consistently that Canadians are supportive of persons who are terminally ill to be able to have assisted physician death in order to relieve their pain and suffering. So I think that we should listen to what Canadians believe, what they say, and what's appropriate. These are very personal decisions. These are decisions that affect our end of life for not only ourselves, but our family and our friends. And I think it takes time to reflect on them.
People are still aware that you represented Ms. Rodriguez in that early Supreme Court case. And I'm just curious, you talk about how it's such a personal decision, and I'm curious about how often people come up to you sort of out of the blue and express their feelings on this to you.
I probably hear this several times a week from people about their feelings for themselves, their family, and their friends. It is such an important part of our lives and, of course, our end of life. People feel very strongly about it, and virtually every person I have spoken to has been supportive of a physician-assisted death in appropriate circumstances. I know that some, for religious conscience reasons, don't support it, and I think that their wishes for themselves should be respected. But for others, they should be able to have the option should they wish to do so.
Mr. Constantine, good to talk to you this morning. Thank you for this.
My pleasure.